are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, June the 5th. And today we're going to take a close look at Nasir Little of North Carolina. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the offseason here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Been a busy few weeks for your boy, and I appreciate the patience. We're going with a three-day-a-week schedule for now, and we will see if that changes over time. We'll get some more episodes as the draft gets a little bit closer. We got to bust out all these draft profiles, and that's what we're going to do a little bit today as well. Also going to look ahead to tonight's Game 3 of the NBA Finals, a big one with this series knotted at 1-1 between the Golden State Warriors and the Toronto Raptors. And like I said, back to the draft profiles and Nasir Little, a guy getting a lot of ink throughout, especially among Pistons media. We'll take a look at Rod Beard and Vince Ellis, if they've still got those guys. Nasir Little going to the Pistons. At one time, I think each of them had them going to Detroit in one of their mock drafts. We're also going to hear briefly from an old friend in Fred McLeod, the former longtime voice of the Pistons on television, and now the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's going to talk a little bit about the curse breaking of the Cavs and how it feels to be back with the Lions organization. He's going to do a little part-time temporary gig with the Detroit Lions during the preseason, doing three of their games for Fox 2, still living in Cleveland, still covering the Cavs, but just kind of doing a little back-to-Detroit break. He's got his wife is from here. His wife's family is from here as well. So they're back in the Detroit area quite a bit. So Fred felt like he was doing a little off-season cashing in on some of those visits back to the Detroit area and check in with the Lions a little bit there. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that in the Twitter handle, and also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter handle, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But today's show brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that. Get rewarded. A little bit of an update. We got the Locked On NBA mock draft coming out a few days before the draft, and I have made my selection. We did not trade out of the 15 pick, and I stayed true to my top 15 big board. So if you listen to that episode on Monday with the top 15 big board, I should tweet that out today, by the way, my big board. And as I mentioned then, it's a little bit fluid, and 14 and 15 are a couple of picks that I am not quite sure about on my big board. Instead of going with some of those wings at the bottom of the list, I'm thinking about taking some home run swings instead, and you can listen to the Locked On NBA mock draft as it comes out in a couple weeks, or maybe shorter than that, actually. But hear exactly who we went with there. And interesting pick. I didn't have to go down to my 14 and 15 pick. I actually ended up taking the player on my actually, I shouldn't reveal that. I should not reveal what number. We'll edit that part out. We'll not reveal what number my pick was at the off my big board. But it was one of the players on my big board, so we did land one of those guys there. But back to tonight's action at hand, the Raptors and the Warriors going at it. Game 3 in Oakland. We're back to a 9 p.m. start in these games, as we will be throughout the rest of the games of the finals until Game 7, as that will be a week from Saturday. So 8 o'clock start for that one, but 9 o'clock the rest of the way. Warriors favored at home by 4.5 to get the win. Of course, the big story for Golden State is the injuries. Durant is out. Kevon Looney is out. Klay Thompson questionable with the hamstring injury that he suffered early in the fourth quarter of Game 2. We will see, for Toronto's sake, if OG Anunoby can get into the game. He was active but didn't play in Game 2. But going into Game 3, man, not really sure what to say about this one. A little bit of a roller coaster ride going on right now in this series. My original prediction was Golden State in Game 5, so I got in 5 games, so I got to stick with that. Not feeling great about it. Would like to switch to 6 or 7 if I could, but I can't. There are rules here in my head. So, but man, not much of a read going into this one. Feels like Golden State still has a bit of a psychological edge with the experience that they have. Still don't feel great about some of the unproven Raptors on the road, but those guys have been known to prove us wrong throughout the playoff run a little bit here. But it feels like, you know, more Golden State shots will fall. Still waiting on a vintage Steph Curry game. Might see that one coming too. Draymond should feed off the energy at home, as we know, and guys like Boogie Cousins as well. Look for, you know, a couple of the Golden State role guys. Been real impressed with Quinn Cook. Obviously, the big three-pointers that he made in the fourth quarter of Game 2. And we'll see if that kind of play continues for some of those guys. The energy of McKinney. And how about Andrew Bogut just finishing off a couple of those alley-oops. And, of course, the big shot from Iguodala, who got the spotlight nationally these last couple of days. Everyone talking about Andre Iguodala as a Hall of Famer. And just one of those weird oddball discussions of Hall of Fame, of course, where it's like, yeah, he's got the big moments during the Golden State Warriors run that we've had here at the NBA Finals MVP that felt a little strange, didn't really seem like he deserved it. And then the first half of his career as kind of the best guy on a bad team in Philly for a lot of years. And I don't know, to me, he's not a Hall of Famer, but just based on the eye test. Or with Hall of Famers, I have kind of a theory, and this kind of goes for all sports. Like, if you were a big sports fan during the time this person was playing, which now I've gotten to the advanced age to where all of these guys we talk about, I do remember their entire careers. So it's not like it was when I was younger, where it was like, well, I don't remember the first half of his career, so can't really comment on these guys. And with baseball, that's still the case with obviously some of the guys from the 80s and whatnot. But to me, with Hall of Fame, if it's a guy who's kind of borderline, the way I go with it is when you ask someone or myself, if you were to ask myself, is this person a Hall of Famer? What's your answer right away? Like, what does it feel like right away? And that's kind of what the tiebreaker is in my mind. And when you say Andre Iguodala, Hall of Famer, to me, it's a no, because he's just not that guy. He's just not a guy that that stands out as someone who was one of the dominant players of his era. And so that's kind of my, again, my tiebreaker for some of these guys. Now, again, some of those gut reactions don't really ring true. There are other things. You don't just go with Matt Shook's gut in terms of deciding all players who should make the NBA. But it is, like I said, it is kind of the way I look at it. And I'm filibustering a little bit because I'm looking up how many times Andre Iguodala made the All-Star team. And you know what the answer is? It's one. So anytime there's a one-time All-Star available for Hall of Fame selection, my answer is going to be no on that one. So that's where I stand right there. But up next, we're going to talk about Nasir Little, the North Carolina draft prospect who the Pistons are probably and definitely should be considering with the number 15 pick in the NBA draft. But we're going to tell you a little bit about Himalaya again. It's free, super easy to use podcast app platform that has every single podcast you love and are searching for. Personally curated playlists made just for you by our expert podcast tastemakers. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, you're going to hear for a moment a short interview that we did with Fred McLeod yesterday. He was out in Allen Park at Lions minicamp on Tuesday. I was there to, as you can probably tell, we're going to 3 days a week for the short term. We'll try to get some more episodes to you before the draft starts. But busy guy over here. Was in Grand Rapids on Saturday for some high school track. Did a bunch of the MLB draft coverage on Sunday and Monday, and then moved to Allen Park for Lions on Tuesday, and then went to the Tigers game for the Associated Press after that. Straight from there, doing a Whitecaps game, driving out to Grand Rapids here in a little bit once we finish recording this on Wednesday, back to Lions on Thursday, and then a full weekend of Tigers baseball Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So just busy times for me, and we got a little bit of a lull here in the NBA calendar. But like I said, draft coverage will ramp it up here in these next couple weeks. Appreciate your patience there. But thanks to Untuck It for sponsoring Locked On Pistons. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, this is the one. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great, untucked, and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off your order for dear old dad. But let's talk a little bit NBA draft. Back to the profiles. We've got to knock out some of these as time goes on. Nasir Little of North Carolina, one season for Roy Williams and the Tar Heels his freshman year. My big board, we've got him sitting at number 11, although the more I read, the more I dig in, the more I'm dropping him pretty much from this list, I believe. He's in the category of players that we definitely don't feel great about for the Pistons. And I get the feeling that he won't be there for the Pistons at 15 anyways. But I also get the feeling that he is, you know, even if he is, you're not going to be entirely pleased about taking him anyways. Rod Beard of the News has him going to the Pistons in his big board or his mock draft 2.0. And I believe the same is true for Vince Ellis of the Free Press as well. So all sorts of fanfare for him coming into North Carolina. Rivals.com had Little as the number two recruit in the country for the 2018 incoming class, behind only R.J. Barrett of Duke. That's right. Little was ranked ahead of guys like number three, Cam Reddish, who went to Duke, and number four, who was Bol Bol, who ended up going to Oregon. So don't forget that last year at this time, Zion Williamson was number five on the Rivals.com recruiting list. That's one of those facts that will be spun around and changed around as time goes on. People will see. People will say that they knew that when he was just kind of known as a dunker in high school, Zion Williamson was going to be the player, or the prospect that he would become going into the NBA. Or maybe they'll say that, you know, Zion and RJ were neck and neck as far as one and two coming into the college season. That was not the case. There was nobody saying that back then. But Nasir Little obviously did not play very well at North Carolina. He played very little, to pardon the pun there, particularly early in the year and really as time went on as well. But he has good size. Like I said, the question marks are there with the output. Scored 9.8 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, 0.6 assists, you know, half a steal, half a block per game. Three-point shooting percentage at 26.9%, but did have a little projectable shooting with his 77% from free throws, so not terrible there. But did not start a single game for North Carolina this year, 36 games, played 18.2 minutes a game. North Carolina came to Michigan for the Big Ten ACC Classic early this season, and I watched that game, and I checked out, before the game started, checked out the draft boards, the projections, and also, you know, the recruiting list coming into the season, and was like, okay, in addition to watching Michigan for work and fan purposes, I was like, okay, I'll watch kind of Kobe White and Nasir Little. These guys look like standouts on the draft list. I had not seen them before that as far as the NBA scouting eye that we have when we watch a lot of these college games. Nasir Little was nowhere to be found, obviously, in the starting lineup. Thought he was hurt. He ended up playing 17 minutes, went 1-for-5 as Michigan during that early season stampede that they had of a lot of teams. You know, he ended up playing 17 minutes in that game, but not a factor at all, went 1-for-5, and Michigan just kind of bulldozed North Carolina, including Nasir Little, who was a complete non-factor in that game. And really, as the season went on, you would have kind of expected the message to be sent early on and that Nasir Little would kind of improve. And this was a guy who came in as kind of an AAU legend in terms of how he shut down some of the top players on the circuit defensively. But, I mean, man, it just didn't really happen for him at Chapel Hill. 13 minutes in the final game of the season in the NCAA tournament, a Sweet 16 upset loss to Auburn. He scored 4 points in that game. So that'll tell you about how this season kind of finished for Roy Williams, the Hall of Fame coach there. And I can't tell you in my mind about how much of a red flag that is for me. I know it's not. There has been examples of guys who have obviously grown a lot from their college days, especially the one and dones, into the NBA. But to me, this kind of screams like a little bit of Marvin Williams in terms of a guy who couldn't even start. And that was for at least a very, very good, almost a great North Carolina team, where he was coming off the bench as a freshman and then got drafted ahead of the likes of Chris Paul and Deron Williams. I just don't think, and obviously this isn't the number one or number two pick that the Pistons are talking about here, and then we're talking about him as a mid-first round type of guy, but still I think that there will be guys that will have better NBA careers than him that will be available at this spot. And you know, if you can't play in the ACC, do you think that this is a guy who's going to make an impact in the NBA in any kind of reasonable time frame? Obviously, a projectable guy. He's 19 years old right now, but even the, you know, the defensive things, the off-ball stuff is stuff that doesn't seem like it's encouraging from what we see on tape and what we read from a lot of the scouting reports of those in the know out there. You know, athletic guy, but just not, you know, super athletic. And not really the 3-and-D prospect that he was coming into college. Definitely didn't make it look, didn't appear itself in his freshman year at North Carolina. And how about this? 27% from three, actually 26.9%. I found it funny. I was going through a lot of the evaluations and breakdowns. TheRinger.com, one of their comps for him is Stanley Johnson. I think that should kind of say it all for a lot of the Pistons fans out there who did not enjoy the Stanley Johnson era, as you shouldn't have. But again, just like Stanley, a great body. It's all about projection for him there. Measures in at 6'6" height and a wingspan of 7'1¼". So a really good wingspan for him, the long arms. So projects as definitely a small forward and a guy who could become a one-on-one on-ball shutdown defender. Shades of being that great on-ball defender. But again, kind of Stanley Johnson-ish really everywhere you look there, except for the strong output that Stanley Johnson had in his 1 year at Arizona is not definitely found with Nasir Little at North Carolina. But a ball stopper on offense as well, a guy who doesn't seem to know how to play offensively, kind of looked jittery and not really a guy that was thought of as someone who helped the flow of the offense, which we know is a lot of the NBA game in terms of knowing how to play, making reads and reacting, and just kind of being intelligent in terms of your basketball IQ offensively. So Nasir Little, not high on him at all, and not really seeing what a lot of other people are seeing in terms of wishing that he falls to the Pistons and subsequently gets drafted by the Pistons at number 15. But Himalaya, as we've talked about, it's free. It's super easy to use. Every single podcast you love and are searching for, they've got themed collections of shows to help you with your podcast discovery. You can find everything from comedy to mystery, thrillers, and sports. Go ahead and find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you're there. Up next, we are going to hear from Fred McLeod, old friend there from back in the day, former Pistons announcer, and now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We have a really brief, short interview. Just talked to him for a couple minutes for a couple of quotes we wanted for a notebook for the Lions for the Detroit News. Figured I'd just share it with you guys. Not a traditional podcast interview sounding, but you know, a name that you guys might remember from your youth like I do. And that's going to be coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
I'm just to see Mike O'Hara makes it worth all the
right,
while.
Of course, that's what we all say.
Exactly. No, it's fun. It's you know, so many great memories of Detroit and mm-hmm. my kids born here, and such a big part of my television career. And then back with the Lions, where you know, did games, and mm-hmm. just feels like I haven't left. So, you know, I love NFL football, so it's just an opportunity that works with the.
Have you done a lot of NFL football?
7 years of it, yeah, or 6 years of it through the 80s with Lombardi. And okay. So, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a different cadence to it, but it's mm-hmm. you know, still preparation based. And I like what's going on here, love what's going on here. And, mm-hmm. It'll be fun to tell those stories. And then working with Chris Spielman, mm-hmm. I've got a past relationship with. You know, when he was a player and I was a broadcaster, so it's, it'll be fun to. Kind of ride his mm-hmm. passionate wave, you know, in his broadcast. Mm-hmm.
Did they kind of give you a call, or did you give them a call when you found out that Shep was obviously?
Yeah, they reached out. You know, I've got mm-hmm. a prior history, obviously, with Fox Sports Detroit, and so mm-hmm. it just made sense and fits with my off-season schedule. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the Cavaliers letting me do it, because it still takes, you know, a time commitment mm-hmm. to do it right.
Mm-hmm. You'll be around quite a bit in the summer, training camp and everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and, you know, with family being here, it's makes it. We come up here a lot anyway with my in-laws and my daughter and husband and grandson. So, mm-hmm. so it's an easy 2-hour, 10-minute drive. We've done it so many times. It's doing our sleep.
You know. And you've had so many, you know, big moments with the Cavs since being back home. What's, you know, what's it been like to be kind of along for that ride over the past 13 years or so?
Yeah, as a native Clevelander, you know, having understood the 52-year drought and what it meant to the town, just no sports city in America deserved it more, because it's not the fans' fault. And to see grown men crying and watching videos still of how people celebrate, it's something I'll never forget in my sports life.
Okay. Thanks to familiar and friendly face Fred McLeod, who will be doing the Lions preseason games, three of them coming up later this summer, and also the Cleveland Cavaliers TV broadcaster, making a dig there about former Detroit News Lions writer Mike O'Hara, who now works for the Detroit Lions.com, But always good to see the familiar face, Fred McLeod, there in Allen Park, and you'll be seeing him on your TV if you're watching the Lions preseason games later this summer. But just a reminder, today's show brought to you in part by Grip 6 Belts, an ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it's a great Father's Day gift as well. Go to Grip 6. They got a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. Again, Grip 6, the ultra lightweight belt. I've got mine. Love it. Good stuff. And wear it often. Let's just put it that way. And so that'll do it for the show. Thanks for your patience with us throughout this busy stretch. We'll have a lot more NBA finals, a lot more draft stuff for you next week. Got the biggest Pistons fan in the world contest coming up soon. We've just been bogged down with stuff in my life and also more with the content and everything we got going on here in the NBA, the draft, and also with the other news and writing and all the assignments that I take on throughout the time as well. Give me a follow on Twitter. Give me a nice little reward for all the work we've been doing here lately. Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that on Twitter. And check out the Himalaya app, as we have talked about at length, free and super easy to use, as every single podcast that you love and are searching for. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you're there. And, of course, when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. We'll be back with one more episode this week. Appreciate you guys following. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons podcast, saying talk to you guys soon. Thanks for listening.